we posted that video and it got something like 16 million views on this one video. And the song went bananas. Brands now want to find success organically. Everyone's looking for like that viral soundbite. Gen Z specifically, like they want to see random shit.
You are really good at like communicating with both sides to like find that thing.
There's other companies that do stuff in this world, but I don't think anyone does it like us. The reason I hate myself for saying that is because...
Welcome back to the Creator Spotlight Podcast. Today's guest is Penn Weinberger, founder and head of the agency Bad Behavior. Bad Behavior works with creators to produce original short-form shows for brands. They've worked with clients like Lyft, Columbia Records, Cash App, and Stanley. So a lot of big clients. Penn, thank you for coming on the show. First thing I want to ask, do you consider Bad Behavior a content agency, a creator agency, an influencer agency, or something else entirely?
Great question, and thanks for having me. Obviously, very excited to be here. That's a good question and something that we go back and forth on a lot. I would say, in general, we describe ourselves as a branded content studio. Really, our North Star is operating as the outsourced content studio for brands and entertainment. So typically working directly with brands. And obviously, as part of that, we're doing so much creator stuff, a lot of influencer stuff, but original content production is really our MO. So that's usually what we back into.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So this is something I like to get into. I'm not sure the difference matters so much always, but I think it's always an interesting conversation. What do you think the difference is between a creator and an influencer?
Great question. And obviously, insanely nuanced, a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
I think in short, I would say a creator is someone who is really creating something for themselves that may or may not end up growing an audience from that.
Yeah.
So I think that with the, obviously with like TikTok and short form video, I think that most of the new people coming from that are creators. I think that once they hit a certain level and they almost have that built in audience recognition, brand affinity for their personal brand, they're able to sometimes cross over into being an influencer.
Yeah.
I think like generally the way I sum it up, if I had to look at it in black and white, is if you're making stuff on TikTok or YouTube or YouTube Shorts, you're a creator. If you're someone who's coming from a reality show like Love Island and now you make little ads on Instagram, you're an influencer.
Okay.
That's really interesting. It's also like creativity versus like lifestyle as well.
Yes. I think that creativity versus lifestyle thing is where I kind of get at it. Like for me, like the creator is somebody who's like, they're about the craft. They're like, maybe they're doing, you know, they're filming, they're writing, they're doing all the stuff. Whereas the influencer is like, I still have that, like, you know, definition of like a decade ago where it's like somebody who's just like making Instagram posts, like shilling a brand.
Yeah.
And to me, like where I've kind of come to it is like an influencer is almost like, yeah, the distinction almost doesn't matter. Like maybe if a creator makes a post that's just like, you know, maybe they're a big YouTuber, but they make an Instagram post that's just like shilling a product, like a partnership with a brand. Like that's them doing the act of influencing, but they're not like, they're an influencer in that post, but they're not necessarily an influencer generally. I don't know, but I thought it was interesting too that you said you work with both creators and influencers, like on behalf of brands.
Definitely. And it's weird. I feel like a large part of it is the eyeball test where you can see someone's profile and you're like, oh, creator, oh, influencer. And a lot of it is how they think of themselves. I mean, for an influencer, I feel like one tends to think of like a fashion girly or something like that, or someone
who's more feminized too, as like a stereotype.
For sure. Maybe slightly more aesthetic.
Yeah.
While with like creators, it's anything from like animation to ASMR to someone just taking a phone out around their friends and like creating funny little comedy videos. I mean, that's like the root of like creating.
It's like craftsperson versus salesperson.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think like in this day and age, there can be like a little bit of a negative connotation around being an influencer at times, which is why for us, 90% of the time we're using the terminology of creator.
Yeah.
Even if we're working with someone who thinks of themselves as an influencer, we're trying to plug them into our operation as a creator.
Yeah. So you've spent your whole career working with like working with both brands and creators, but always with brands as the clients, right? The creators are never the clients.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. What draws you to this as opposed to like a more talent agency model where it's like where you might essentially be doing the same thing, but like representing the creators rather than the brands?
It's a good question. I think that the traditional model is pretty built out. I mean, people know what it is. Everything is to some extent black and white. Like people have a rough idea of rates. People are measuring off of engagement rates, bookmarks, shares, and it's things that have existed for a long time, even when it was just static Instagram pages. Yeah. I think what I'm drawn to is that TikTok has been around for a while at this point, but people still don't even really know what it is.
Yeah.
Short form video is evolving every single day, where I mean, YouTube Shorts is still relatively new. You have other platforms like Amazon. I believe they launched like their Amazon Inspire, which is around short form video. And what's clear is that it's kind of a space race, right? For brands looking to win in this new avenue of social media. So for me, I'm drawn to like the white space of it all, where it's like, to some extent, having the opportunity to be like a pioneer, like we're building this thing out. Like we're almost making the rules that are going to be the black and white rules people look back on in a few years.
Yeah.
And I think
in the same way that like with like the Bloomberg campaign, you were kind of like doing the walk. So X can run. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And I think that's like when I look back at my career in whatever, how many years, like I want to be able to like point out like moments that impacted culture. Like for me, I'm like pretty big on like, what can I do that like, so for me, like just like as a side note, like a lot of my friends are not in this like social media online space at all. So like a North Star for me is like, what can I do in my job that they'll see in their day-to-day life and not even know that I had anything to do with it, or that I know the person who had anything
that's
to do
like
with
your biggest like win personally.
Exactly. Then it's like, all right, now this is not just out of like the LinkedIn echo chamber. It's like actually reaching like the masses who just consume.
Can you walk me through like the life cycle of a deal, because you do work with a brand? Like what, so like, you know, brand approaches you looking for something to campaign goes live and you report it. What's like the life cycle of this now at Bad Behavior?
Great question. So brands typically will come to us one of two ways. Either they'll have a fleshed out idea and they just don't have the bandwidth or the team to bring it to life. Or they'll say like, hey, we know that our TikTok presence sucks and like we really need to juice it up. Like, can you help us? In the second case, our team handles everything from ideation, talent sourcing and management and contracting through production and community management. Mm-hmm. So if we have a new format, let's just say we're going to do an in-studio game show, just for example. First, we'll align on what the high-level concepts are. Sometimes we bring that to them before we lock in, I guess, the partnership. Sometimes with the partnership, then we do the talent ideation. Once we're there, the talent is obviously such an integral part of like success on social.
How much freedom do you often like give talent? Like, because I've worked in like a past job, I've worked with creators where like we are pretty strict, and then or times where it's like, hey, we just like what you do. Here's like basically what we're trying to do, and I trust you to like come up with a creative.
I would say it's a happy medium. Yeah. We definitely want their personality, and we definitely always ask them to like, hey, feel free to like improv this. Feel free to ad lib. Like the script we're sending you is really just like guidelines. You know what I mean? It's kind of just like, don't go too far this way. Don't go too far this way. But you can tell when a creator or an influencer is saying something that's not in their own voice. And no one wants that. Like they're not happy. We're not happy. The viewer's not happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we usually try to empower them as much as possible. Like, honestly, like when we do original content, our whole goal is really just putting a team around this creator so they can do what they do best and not worry about like the BS things, like putting a team together or editing or pulling a stranger off the street to ask them if we can see their apartment. You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
I mean, I've been the person asking people on the street to interview them before. It's hard. It's really hard. Like I've done before, it was like me and then somebody filming, and it's really tough.
It is like for me, even though I definitely sit on like the business partnership sales side of things, I always make sure that like every couple of months, like I'm going out into the street and I'm yeah. being the guy pulling people.
Feeling
I think
reality.
It's like, yeah. It's like, you need to know what it's like. I think for us, like we're really trying to like upset the traditional agency model.
Yeah.
Because we've seen times where they've tried to do what we do. And because they're maybe a little too, definitely not trying to throw shade, but like corporate or like traditional, yeah. they don't quite know what it takes to go out and film this sort of content.
To do the thing, yeah. Well, wait, what do you, so tell me more what you mean by like upsetting the traditional agency model.
So I think that for like a lot of traditional agencies, they're used to like crazy ad spend and these like beautiful mm-hmm. polished assets, which they're amazing at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that brands now want to find success organically. So the beautiful polished assets don't work as much. You really want to find like real conversations. Everyone's looking for like that viral soundbite. So you have a lot of brands that are seeing on popular on street shows and they're saying, hey, we want to create something like this. And they go to their agency and the agency doesn't know how to do that because you're not going to see someone on their team go out into the street with a camera and pull people off the street. You know what I mean? A lot of them, the editors they have are like real high level editors. Like they're producing ads.
They're producing like they're very talented, but they lack like the scrappiness.
Exactly. And like, I think Gen Z specifically, like they want to see random, pardon my language, random shit. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the time.
We've already said fuck Jerry, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Phew. Good. They want to see stuff that looks like it's something they would make. They want something that they want to follow. And I think that these traditional ad agencies don't quite understand that social voice. I think they're great at like polished. They're definitely great at like the back end metrics, knowing how to drive people from A to B and like A-B testing and stuff like that. But we're able to do it much faster. We're able to do it definitely much cheaper and better.
Yeah. Okay. I want to get back into more like the nuts and bolts of how you do the work. Your kind of special skill is like being, if it can be like boiled down, is like being a brand whisperer, where like you are really good at like kind of processing what a brand is looking for when they're like, we want to be better on social. We really want to make something that's like actually cool. You're really good at being like, okay, like I got you. I understand that. Let me go find you know what to look like in a creator that like helps, that will like meet their kind of KPIs or needs or whatever, but then also kind of like massage what that creator is doing into something. Like you're good at communicating with both sides to like find that thing.
I like to think so. I mean, I'm definitely surrounded by like great people that like are more creative than me, which like I'll be the first to say, like I like to think I'm like so creative, but like I'm not a pure creative. But that's essentially our model, where we're taking both of these like strong sources and like putting them together to create something that's unique. And I think the big word is like ownable. Like how can you create something that allows you to become kind of like a pillar or like someone else's North Star on social media?
Yeah.
I think that like
when everyone's like, like we want to be like Duolingo.
I was going to say like everyone points to like Duolingo and it's like, okay, not everyone can do like a mascot as much as other brands have tried. But in their own way, like brands, that's like what a brand wants to be on social. And a lot of time it has to be creator led.
Yeah. Okay. So why, I feel like the answer is just that this is what you like to do, but why do you start Bad Behavior instead of like doing literally anything else, like getting a job at a bigger agency, getting a job in house at a brand, whatever it is? Why do you start this agency?
So I think it has to come down to like having a chance to like build something that's my own.
Yeah.
I think that like my whole life, I've really just been interested in like having that runway to just create. And at Fallen, I was really, really lucky to work with people and have bosses and managers that invested in me and that honestly let me be my own boss in full. And honestly, I wasn't ready to say bye to that. I didn't want to just kind of go be an employee somewhere else.
Yeah, you can't go backwards.
Exactly. And I felt like we had really a really strong foundation to build off of. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I mean, I still do think this. I think that there is still a ton of white space and like undiscovered worlds in terms of like short form content.
Yeah.
And for me, like that's definitely what I'm interested in building out. There's other companies that do stuff in this world, but I don't think anyone does it like us. And I didn't want to just, again, plug into someone else's operation and just be another cog in their machine.
Yeah. So, okay, this one's something I want to talk about for a second. Is like, when you started doing this with Jerry Media, short form wasn't really a thing yet. And now it's like, really is a thing and it's your bread and butter. Do you like, you know, the constant pace of change, people talking about TikTok ban, whatever. Are you like diversifying much outside of that? Are you worried about like, I mean, I don't think short form's going anywhere, to be clear. And I don't think you do either. But are you like trying to like work with more creators and like, whether it's newsletters or long form YouTube or like whatever it is?
Yes. So we're definitely diversifying in that, like the short form content we produce, we're always recommending, let's put it on Reels, let's put it on YouTube Shorts. We've found that if you create with TikTok as like your vision, mm-hmm. it can work on the other platforms. Where if you create for Instagram and you move it to TikTok, it feels out of place. It doesn't really work.
Really? Huh?
Because I think that a lot of people consume Reels because they don't want to download TikTok or they don't want to get
myself included.
Exactly. They don't want to get like sucked into the TikTok doom scrolling. So they just pretend that they're not doing it by sticking on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Where but the Instagram like algorithm has gotten much better. Now it's like no different for me, really.
Exactly. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
So we're always recommending posting there, where if you see like, I think it goes back to the influencer conversation, where a lot of Instagram content is influencer led versus creator led. So when you move this influencer led content to TikTok, you can tell it's like almost like a wolf in sheep's clothing to some extent. Like it's not quite native.
Stands out. Yeah,
exactly. So short form is definitely still our MO. I think right now something we're exploring is taking like a higher level talent or a celebrity or an athlete even, and attaching them to a creator, a format that's traditionally creator led.
Yeah.
So almost leaning into like sports media or just something that's a bit more elevated, lifts the hood up on who these people really are while still presenting it in a way that's very like bite-sized, very digestible, leaning heavily into cut downs, stuff like that.
This is actually something that's interesting to me in terms of like how the lines start to blur between creator and celebrity. And I think like we're long past the point where like, you know, creators are celebrities. But like the way you're talking about like, oh, taking more traditional celebrities and making this like content that looks like creator content, to me then too, it's like, with creators, like, is the creator's goal then just to like create a show that turns them into a traditional celebrity? Again, it's one of these things where it's like, do these like distinctions and titles really matter? It's ultimately all just like entertainment that people look at on their phone. And it's just about like, for people like you on the business side, it's just about like trying to get people to watch this content on their phone. I don't know. Just like kind of philosophically, what do you think about this? Like the coming together of like creator and celebrity, not culture, but like the way these are presented, like, I guess for me, I'll give you my answer before I let you answer. To me, it's about like the celebrities usually still have more security. And for them, this is like an experiment. Whereas the creators, it's more of like attempting to bootstrap into celebrity, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. I think like overall, the one word that comes to mind is it's very bizarre. I mean, the whole thing is like, it's all a gray area. You see creators, I mean, like a random example, but like one person that comes to mind is like Brianna Chicken Fry.
Yeah.
Where like when TikTok was like in its like viral growth stage.
I actually don't know who she is except for the fact that her and Zach Bryan broke up recently.
Exactly.
I like Zach Bryan.
Totally. I mean, she was like just like this creator who would make like videos POV style. Mm. And she built a really dedicated following. And then she got picked up by Barstool to do like this like BFF podcast. And I think once she started going there, she started getting a little bit more celebrity just by being attached to like Dave Portnoy and like the Barstool machine. And then she started dating Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
And obviously he's like a true celebrity. And then that kind of like blurred her into being a full celebrity now, where she's like Page Six, you know what I mean? People Magazine, like about the breakup.
Well, this is something that's interesting to me about this too is like, Haley Welch, Hawk Twa girl, is like a really good example of this, where like for a while it seemed like she was a really good example of like kind of creating celebrity out of a viral, you could call it creator moment. I don't even know if she wasn't really the creator of that. She was just happened to be in a creator's video, but creating maybe a lasting creator or celebrity out of this viral moment. But then I saw some numbers a day or two ago about like the the Talk to a podcast, the podcast they made for her, and how the numbers are dropping. For a second, it was like number four in the country. Now it's like number 52 or whatever. All of which is saying maybe a difference between creator and celebrity is like celebrity has roots. Then, like, you know, in the way that like roots are what you know, protect a tree in a storm from like blowing over. The roots,
yeah,
are, you know, it's whatever. Whereas like the creator, maybe if you've been a creator for 8 to 10 years, then you have those roots. But maybe that's a crucial difference, is like the depth and strength of the roots and background that like give security in the attention market.
Yeah. And like another person coming to mind, I feel like an example of someone who's all three, like a creator, an influencer, and a celebrity, is like Mr. Beast, for example, where he's like the biggest example. But I think something he's done exceptionally well, which a lot of creators we found are trying to almost follow in their own way, is setting up other business, other forms, other income streams.
Where which is more about like, those roots than stability. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, we're even seeing companies that pop up with the intention of working with creators to create their own products. So obviously you have some creators that will do like a t-shirt or a hat, and some people buy it. But then you have other creators that maybe try to do like their own makeup line, or they try to do their own skincare or something that's like actually tangible that they can market themselves. Which almost feels very similar to like Ryan Reynolds. I'm forgetting which company, but I know like he buys
Mint,
companies,
mobile,
makes himself the face, and then sells it. And it's like almost the creator model in the celebrity world.
So I think one thing I think about creators is like there's, I mean, in any creative industry, this is the case where there's some people who are really good at the creative side, some people who are really good at the business side, some people who are really good at both. And like that's where you come in, is like you work with brands who maybe lack that creative, I mean, maybe the creative in other ways, they lack that creative insight. And you work with creators who maybe lack the business savvy. And I think like you're talking about like these businesses setting up to build businesses for creators, like that is, that's again, that's the, like, these people don't necessarily always know how to like monetize their attention, turn attention into revenue. I think then like the dark side of that is like there's just so many creators, more and more now, right? Like even 5 years ago when you started in this industry, there was much less and they were less sophisticated. And now there's like, it's just so much more competitive. So I want to talk about money for a second and like how you guys structure deals. You don't have to tell me like exactly like what your average deal price or whatever is, but just like some whatever ballpark, like give us a picture of how it works. So like, what does a project look like, say, in terms of the structure of a deal for it to be worthwhile for you? And maybe it's like, obviously it varies a lot, but I don't know if you have an example.
Yeah. So I would say our standard most offered model is us operating as like the always on content partner for a brand.
Okay.
Meaning that specifically for their TikTok, sometimes Reels, sometimes YouTube Shorts, we are producing upwards of 20 to 30 video assets per month.
Wow. Yeah.
And really just kind of feeding the machine. Sometimes that can look like one content format, like let's just say an on-street fashion show.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can look like a combination of the on-street fashion show plus elevated UGC with like specific brand guidelines that are placed in there. Like everyone has to wear pink, or there always needs to be a little logo or a little like Easter egg in the background, something like that.
Yeah.
For stuff like that, the brand is typically paying us on a retainer basis anywhere from like, I don't know, $10,000 to $50,000 per month.
Yeah.
I would say the biggest variables within that are the level of talent that we're using.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with some brands that are cool working with the up and comer. So the creator that we know is going to pop off at some point, but they haven't.
That you want to develop a show with, kind of. Yeah,
exactly. We're like, hey, this person's a rising star. They have 20,000 followers today, but I bet if we check back in 6 months, they're going to be at like 320,000 followers. Yeah. And at that point,
and us doing this and like paying them to like work full time on this will also enable that.
Exactly. And it's also like cost. Like, hey, if we get them at 320,000 followers, they're going to be 32 times more expensive than they are today.
What kind of like fees are you able to get for creators, and like what are the factors besides like maybe it's just like who their audience is and how big it is, but yeah, I'm interested too in like for the creator audience who might be wanting to work with brands or like work with an agency like you, what can they expect usually?
So it's interesting because a lot of creators think in terms of paying for a post on their own channel, yeah. where it's like, hey, we're Nike. We want you to do a post around our new running shoe for Black Friday. Mm-hmm. The creator's like, all right, my rate's 5,000. Nike's like, okay, we'll pay you 3,000. And then they ideally meet somewhere in the middle, or sometimes they meet at 3,000 because it's yeah. the brand's money. So we definitely do some of that stuff where it's like their traditional creator partnership. But for a lot of what we do, we are using this creator as a host. Mm-hmm. So rather than paying them to post on their own channel, we're giving them an hourly rate or a project rate, which a lot of the time can look completely different because we're not tapping yeah. into their audience. A lot of the time, we don't even tag the creator in the content.
You they're just truly want the talent.
Yeah, they are truly just talent. They are truly just mm-hmm. a face or one of a few faces for a brand. And for that, on the low end, we're paying anywhere from 100 an hour to 10-20K for a package of hours right, or yeah. for a project. So the biggest cost variable is level of talent and then the content format. Mm-hmm. Where if we're working with an up and comer, it's actually much cheaper to create a volume of content if we're filming it ourselves rather than paying a UGC creator for one asset.
Yeah. So the creators you're usually working with, I imagine they're probably all independent, not necessarily represented by an agent or a manager, right? Because unless it's a really big deal, like where you have a really big budget to work with, having it like another agent or manager probably would just like make it too expensive. And you're kind of looking, your talent too is looking for the diamonds in the rough.
I would say it's actually a mix. So something else that we've seen is it seems like a lot of smaller creators now have management, even if they yeah. wouldn't have had management a couple of years ago at that same level.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And if I had to guess, it's probably a matter of same as the music industry. Everyone's looking for that next big yeah. artist, right? Everyone yeah. wants Billie Eilish when she only has 100 streams on SoundCloud, because then you're still there when she has 100 million streams.
Yeah.
So I think that people are going more and more after that on social when they're looking at these creators.
Yeah.
And I think it also
as the industry matures. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it also, I mean, plugs right into like being a niche creator where let's just say you're a lifestyle creator. I don't know, you post random stuff and you have 20,000 followers. Obviously good for you. I don't have 20,000 followers. Like yeah. you've grown an audience. That's a lot of people. But if you have 20,000 followers and you are a fashion creator, like you mm-hmm. strictly post about fashion, you're going to get invited to real events. You're going to get
yeah.
outreach from like real brands because
you have an opinionated point of view.
Exactly. So because of that, like managers are going after these people because they want a piece. They want to help mm-hmm. them grow. They want to open them up to their own network.
Yeah. Who are the people you're usually working with on the brand side? Like what are their titles?
It really ranges. I think on the low end, it's like a social media strategist. Mm-hmm. On the high end, it's like VP of marketing, brand marketing, content lead, social lead, really, and anything in between there.
Yeah. What are the KPIs or like specific goals they're usually setting, or like the most common KPI or goal?
So it ranges. I mean, we definitely get like follower growth for sure.
Yeah. For a brand account.
Yeah, exactly. I think like the big one and the one that we're always trying to push is like reception and eyeball test. Especially coming from a perspective where we've seen shows not perform and then all of a sudden take off and become like brands themselves.
Yeah.
We're always preaching patience, obviously, to an extent. Like we're not afraid to pivot away from something that we don't think is working based on the numbers. But a lot of the time you could watch a video and we can say like, no, like this video is great. Like maybe it just didn't hit today. Yeah. But if we keep posting consistently every day, we know that there's something.
That's what matters, yeah.
But then, of course, a big one is always going to be like bookmarks and shares. Mm-hmm. For us, we're always looking like deeper as well, like percent of video watched. Are people clicking away after 5 seconds or are they watching 40% of the video? Because in that case, that's pretty strong.
Yeah. I imagine this is actually probably a big part of your job too, is like maybe educating the brands you're working with on this because maybe they think it's like yes. followers or like whatever. They want to duplicate what Duolingo is doing, whatever, back to that example, but they aren't necessarily sure exactly what that means. And like you are like advocating for like, this is how you should be thinking about it.
Totally. And yeah. then, I mean, the big one, of course, is like when you see a video pop, there's no better yeah. feeling seeing the video, like, oh my God, like it's first at 12,000 views and it's like, damn, and now it's at 200,000, yeah, like 800,000. And you can like feel the excitement there. Like everyone is like, all right, there's like something here. This is what we were talking about. Like we were first pitching you guys.
Yeah.
That's the best feeling for sure.
When, yeah, like, we did it, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to get into like maybe some advice for a second. So one, what does it take to develop a really good, lasting, high potential creator led show? I mean, and again, I know it like varies a lot, but what are some of like, I don't know, a few ground rules?
I would say the number one ground rule is consistency. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you're developing a show, even if you have a bad creator and a bad concept, if you're posting every single day, you're going to see growth.
Yeah. Run a mile every day. You get faster.
Exactly. And then if you have a great creator and a great concept, then all right, now we actually really have something here. I think that you need to go after what's topical today on social, but it's also a very fine line because you don't want to just be trend chasing and like trend hunting
behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think that there's like a very nuanced line where you almost want to like wink to things that people are seeing on their own social platforms. Like they're scrolling Twitter and like they see mention of this. Yeah. You want to nod to that. You want to wink to that, but you don't want to dive into that. Like not everyone can be the Four Seasons baby meme, for example.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. I mean, you want to create a concept that's ownable.
Yeah.
And I think that there's almost two differing forms of thought. One of them is like, okay, everyone knows the Daniel Max of the world where they ask the same exact question in every video and the videos perform and he has an audience and people know who he is as soon as they see a video. In the first 2 seconds, you know which creative that is.
Yeah.
And I think if you could get there, you're winning. Mm-hmm. But then there's a lot of others that think like, all right, we need to always be testing and learning. We need to be trying new questions. We don't want every video to feel the same. We don't want to ask the same question every time. So for us, a lot of the time, it depends on the brand. It depends on the creator. Are they able to get unique answers? Or are we truly just getting the same answer every single time?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also like other little things. Like, does this feel native yet elevated? So for example, something we're always trying to do is like, We used to work with this company, the Spring Hill Company. We did this on-street fashion show.
It's like LeBron James's agency, right? Yeah.
So it's little things like, all right, that's like a nice polished mic flag
for
a real brand, but we're asking people in Soho, like, what's one fashion item you can't live without?
Yeah.
So kind of like finding that fine line.
Yeah. So for like, I know you work with some, you do some shows that are like bespoke for a brand on the brand's channel, but what if like you are a independent creator and you're like trying to develop a show that like will be easy for brands to plug into? I think What's Popping with Davis is a good example where like a lot of different brands have worked with that show at this point. What like if you are a creator just starting out, what would you build into the show to ensure that it's relatively easy to like create those brand relationships down the line?
I feel like an old man for saying this and I hate myself, but I feel like brand safety is really a big one. I think that there is, again, a fine line. Like I think What's Popping with Davis, it's raunchy in the best ways without losing a brand. Like you can send that to any person at any brand and they're not going to recoil from it. But like there's a couple jokes or a couple references that are a little bit risque.
Yeah. It feels youthful and cool, but without getting over the edge.
Exactly. And I think that sometimes you see a format or you see maybe one video hits your For You page and it's very intriguing. Mm-hmm. But then you click on the channel and there's some stuff that's like, this is like a bit too much.
Yeah.
So the reason I hate myself for saying that is because it's hard to tell a new creator, like, don't do this, like, don't create this sort of content. Because at the end of the day, what's most important is they're creating something that feels right for them. So, for example, like a side talk when they went crazy viral like the New York Knicks in the playoffs last year and like the fuck your life stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's not brand safe. But because they were able to build a community within that, they were able to do real things. And I've seen them do partnerships with like Complex and like other media companies
is a brand that makes sense to work with them, even if they are saying like bing bong fuck your life. Like
exactly trying to think what else. I mean,
Well, how about what guidelines would you give creators for working with brands? Like, I mean, let's say you're an independent creator who's like not working with an agency like you, but who's like talking directly to a brand. How would you advise them on like approaching that situation?
I would come with an idea. I think that when a brand feels like you want to work with them because they're that brand versus you're just looking for a paycheck or like a quick post, that really resonates with them. They want to hear why their brand will plug in well to your audience.
Mm-hmm. It's like a journalist pitching a publication for a story.
Exactly. On the other side, I think that something I'll just say to all the creators out there is make sure you have your email in your bio. There's so many times where we're scrolling through hashtags for like an up and coming, I don't know, ASMR creator or like an adventure nature creator. And we come across their video through a hashtag and it's like, oh, this person is like starting to like take off. Like all their videos have over 10,000 views.
Yeah.
They're growing. They only started their account a couple months ago, but we've no way of getting in touch with you.
It's so like, are you going to just DM them? Like, yeah, it's going to get lost.
And a lot of the time on TikTok, you can't DM someone unless they follow you. So like there's been so many people that have fallen through our fingers just because we haven't been able to get a hold of them.
Yeah.
But something else that we've also recommended in the past is you want to go after Nike, like create a video for them.
Yeah.
Like show them what you want to do. Like start getting your audience talking about them. Tell your audience to start tagging Nike in your comments. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like little things like that. Just it's very grassroots. It's very like guerrilla marketing.
Yeah. I wonder, so you don't have to give me any like specific example, but I'm curious of like any campaigns or clients or creators you've worked with that it just hasn't worked out for whatever reason. And like, I'm less interested in like the exact story about that, but I'm interested in like what you've learned are the warning signs or things to really avoid, like, where you're like, I don't know if this is the project we want to take on, or like early on and you're like working on it and you're like, oh, we got to like turn the ship around a little bit. What have you learned to look for?
So I'll give you two different answers. One is more, I guess, like warning signs or like red flags on the brand side. And one is red flags on like the creator side.
Perfect.
On the brand side, I think a lot of it is like unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
So for us, we usually try to break out a lead time of 4 to 6 weeks from contract execution into production.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're able to move faster. The lengthiest part of that is definitely finding the right talent, where sometimes we have to do multiple rounds. Sometimes we find the perfect person, but they're out of budget, or we find the perfect person, but they're actually getting hip surgery next month. True story. And a lot of the time brands want the content yesterday.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you go at that timeline just to please them in that moment, you skip some steps and the initial performance or the initial product won't be as strong as if you had that lead time.
Yeah.
So again, sometimes we're definitely down and able to work within expedited timelines, but I think it's the unrealistic expectations where you're able to hear that at the upfront and you're
like, gotta know your limits and advocate for them.
Exactly. And it's on us to set the right expectations. But then there's always going to be some brands that just don't hear you. They just tell you what they want.
Yeah.
And they don't hear the why not, or like, why can't we have that now? Mm-hmm. And then they want insane follow growth immediately, while also making sure that like the brand is front and center. We're putting a logo over someone's face like in the first 2 seconds.
And it's like, okay, you came for the wrong, like, I don't think you want to do a creator campaign. You should maybe just be doing like traditional agency marketing here.
Exactly. And I would say the other one is if someone expects sales right out of the gate.
Yeah.
So we definitely look at ourselves as like top of funnel, where we will get people to your page. We will build you a following in the community. And the goal is, yes, down the line, once we have that, we can start pushing something a little bit more product or brand forward with the idea of driving purchase. But if you put the cart before the horse, like it's not going to work. And then all of a sudden you're turning that audience off before they even followed your channel. And no one wants that.
Yeah.
On the creator side, I think one of the reasons we like working with up and comers is we've definitely had instances where it's clear the creator or influencer really just wants the paycheck.
Yeah.
And for us, it's really important to invite them to sit on the same side of the table as us. We want you to brainstorm with us. We want you to ad lib in improv, like whatever the topic or script is, and sometimes you can just tell, like, they're just gonna show up, read their line, and then they want to go home.
You want somebody who understands that, like, this is also an opportunity to, like, rise their star, and, like, it's an opportunity to build equity in their, like, account or their personal brand, whatever.
Exactly. And we've definitely run into instances where we bring someone on halfway through the project, they decide they want, or maybe they decide they should have had a higher rate, for example. Yeah. And it's like, at that point, it's we're already in the project. Like, there's
the contract's been made. Like,
yeah. And, like, that's not an excuse to take their foot off the gas pedal.
Yeah.
But if they had flagged that at the beginning, then it's something we could have worked with. We could have either figured out the budget or worked with someone that felt that what budget was right for them. Obviously understanding, like, for a lot of people, like, this is their form of income. This is their job.
Yeah.
So it's a balancing act between, like, understanding the human side of it, understanding that we need to please our clients, the brands we work with, understanding that we need to get the best product while making sure both sides are happy. I mean, it's a song and dance every time, but I mean, it's something that, like, we've gotten used to, of course.
What about, like, so on the other side of things, like, most successful campaigns or clients or shows or whatever, we've gone into a little bit of, like, already, like, what makes them successful, but any of the most successful ones, do you think there's, like, I don't know, like, the spark, or, like, what was, like, the one thing that you couldn't have predicted that made it so successful? Like, you know, beyond just, like, be consistent, show up, brand safe, whatever, like, have there been any of these moments where you're like, we couldn't have predicted that, but that made this so successful?
Definitely. So I'll point to, like, probably one of my favorite campaigns ever. So for me, I'm a huge lover of, like, dance music, house music. Yeah. And a few years ago, this was at Fallen, actually, we were working with Spinnin Records. It's like this Dutch label, very big on dance music.
Yeah.
And we were running their TikTok channel for them. And this was, like, pretty early in terms of, like, running a brand social on TikTok. Yeah. And we were doing a ton of, like, reposted content from, like, shows and, like, backstage stuff like that.
Artist footage.
Yeah. And they wanted to basically start putting forward this new song from this up and coming DJ, Own Boss. So we made some assets, and one of them was kind of these, I don't know, maybe like Eastern European men, like, dancing around in, like, a circle or something. And we threw the track over it, posted it to their channel, which had been growing very rapidly. Luckily they were a brand that had that affinity, and we just needed to almost, like, light the beacons to let their fans know, like, here we are.
We're cool.
Exactly. And we posted that video, and it got, I'll need to double check, but something like 16 million views on this one video.
Yeah.
And the song went bananas. The amount of, like, people using the audio was crazy. The song jumped up to, like, millions and millions of streams on Spotify from this, like, relatively unknown DJ.
Yeah.
And the song really just became this, like, festival anthem that whole summer. Tiësto did a remix. I mean, it was just so cool to see, because that was another example where, like, work bled into, like, my real life the same way how I want, like, our work to bleed into, like, my friends' lives, or, like, people I know's lives.
But you never would have thought it would be so successful. It was kind of just like, well, let's try this. It's just one of those things where you're always throwing things at the wall, and this one just happened. It just, the TikTok algorithm liked it that day.
Lightning in a bottle. And I mean, it's the same thing as, like, What's Poppin' with Davis, where I'd love to, like, create the exact same thing today if I could, but it's like, it was the right place, the right time, the right creator. And
this is almost like, sorry, this is like, sometimes I'll, like, some video will come on my feed, whether it's on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and I'll be like, oh, this was funny. And I'll go to the page, and it's just like, their whole thing is like day 4437 of posting this video every day. And it's like, for some reason, this one got 10 million views. And then, like, all those other ones have, like, 100 to, like, 1,000 views, and, like, it's just, sometimes it happens.
It's bizarre, honestly. Like, I wish I, like, understood the algorithm. Like, I've watched so many videos and read so many things on, like, how to lean into it, the growth hacking, posted.
You know who I really like? Have you seen on Instagram this guy, Viral Video Club?
No, I haven't.
He's really good. I'll send you that after.
Yeah, send that.
Okay, sick. I think we'll end it here. Is there anything you want to plug before we end? Are you looking for new clients, looking for creators for some projects?
Yeah, both. I mean, creators, you guys are out there, hit us up, pen@bad-behavior.com. We're always looking for more people to work with, whether it's branded content, like an original production, or some sort of elevated UGC. we're always looking for creators to put shows around. If it's like an original, you don't have to be based in New York, you can be based wherever. Brands, if you're looking at this, we'd love to create something cool. Let's create a social moment. Hit me up.
Sick. All right, let's go. Penn, thank you for coming on. This has been the Creator Spotlight Podcast, and I will see you all next week.